This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. My guest is the most important composer writing for the theater today, Stephen Sondheim. We're listening to the overture from Stephen Sondheim's first musical, Saturday Night. He wrote it in the mid-50s, before writing the lyrics to West Side Story and Gypsy, before writing words and music for A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Forum, Company, Follies, A Little Night Music, Sweeney Todd, Sunday in the Park with George, Into the Woods, and Passion. Although Sondheim expected to make his Broadway debut with Saturday Night, it wasn't staged until 1997. In the interim, this neglected musical became something of a legend. Singers who loved Sondheim managed to get their hands on some of the songs from the show and perform them. Now we can finally hear all the songs, as recorded by the cast of a production that opened last January in New York. The show is set on three consecutive Saturday nights in 1929. On the first night, a group of male friends in their early 20s share their frustration at not having dates.
So what can you do on a Saturday night alone?
Who needs a view on a Saturday night alone?
If it's a Saturday night and you are single, you sit with a paper and fight the urge to mingle.
And home is a place where you gotta go back alone.
Home is a place where the future looks black alone.
I like the Sunday times all right, but not in bed.
Alive and alone on a Saturday night is dead.
Dino, please. Knock it off already.
Dino, give it a rest.
Here's a revival of Ben-Hur. Goes in at 9:15 at the Cushman.
So when I got my mind on sex, who gives a damn for Francis X. Bushman?
Like an overloaded moxie sign, it shines at you friendly and bright. I got my buddies and my buddies are fine, but not on a Saturday night.
Johnny Mac Brown and Bessie Love,
love,
love, love, love.
Saturday Night never made it to Broadway in the 50s because the producer, Lemuel Ayres, died after a few backers auditions were held. I asked Stephen Sondheim if he had to perform his songs at the auditions.
I performed at the first one. I did the whole score by myself. We didn't raise 1 cent. And the producer, Lem Ayres, was so discouraged, he almost dropped the show, but he said, why don't we get a professional cast in and you just play the piano and let professionals sing it? I said, fine. And so we did, and we had quite a sterling cast. Jack Cassidy to play Jean, the lead, and Alice Ghostly to play Celeste, and Artie Johnson to play Bobby, a girl named Lila Martin to play the female lead, Helen, and Jay Harnick, Sheldon Harnick's brother, was one of the cast. And we did, I guess, 4 auditions, and raised about a quarter of the money. And then Artie left and was replaced by Joel Grey. And we did 4 more auditions and raised about half the money. And then that's when Lem died.
I know that you hate to perform. Was it an awful position to have to do the first backers audition?
No. I was nervous-making, but, you know, I was proud of what I'd written and I wanted to show off, so it was fun, although very nervous-making. I was very discouraged when it didn't raise any money. But, you know, it was a good lesson because it was the first time people started to sort of sneer at me. And all young composers go through this where, you know, you're condescended to or looked down on because nobody's ever heard of you. And it was a kind of an annealing process, and it was helped a lot, or my hurt was helped a lot, when I got professionals like Jack and Leland and Alice in to do the auditions from then on, because the whole show then took on a kind of professional sheen and the audiences were a little less condescending.
When the producer of the show died of leukemia and the show didn't make it to Broadway because of that, how did you deal with the disappointment? I mean, was it something that was really crushing, or did you feel, well, you know, I'll just go on and have another opportunity?
I don't honestly remember. I don't remember being supremely crushed. And I think it's because probably I had the hope that somebody else would pick it up, or that Shirley, Lem's widow, would be able to get it on. I think she was trying to get a co-producer. So the show wasn't dead per se, just because the producer was, at least in my head. I guess that's what happened. And it was that very same year that I got the job of writing West Side Story. So, you know, I was quickly at work again on something new, which is, you know, the best kind of healing for such a situation.
I really like the singing on the new CD of Saturday Night.
And yeah, me too.
I'm wondering if you think it's difficult to find good Broadway singers now. It sometimes strikes me as a form of singing that's almost dying out, I think in part because most people don't grow up listening to Broadway singing. They grow up listening to pop or rock, hip-hop, and it's just different approach to singing.
You're absolutely right. When people come in to audition, we often have to ask, particularly younger people, to just sing the song straight instead of stylizing them, instead of bending the notes, instead of doing the kinds of styles you're talking about. They tend to sing mostly very loud and all at one level of expression, and which is pretty boring on a stage, mm-hmm. and fine for a concert. And also, it's inhuman. That is to say, it has nothing to do with character, since they stylize so much when they sing that the character is lost. So we often have to ask them please to sing it straight. Meaning, for some of them, that's very hard to do. They can't just sing the notes. They can only fool around with the notes. And a lot of them have faulty sense of pitch, and it's revealed when they have to sing the song straight. But since most Broadway shows require a much more straightforward kind of vocal sound and vocal production and vocal style than pop and rock, you're absolutely right. It's harder to find them. On the other hand, there are plenty of good voices and a lot of good talent around.
Do you find that there are certain intervals that you have in your songs or anything else that gives singers a lot of trouble, that they're not used to it?
No, I hear secondhand complaints that my songs are difficult to sing, but very few firsthand complaints from people who actually sing them. I think what happens is that I write a lot of dissonance in the accompaniment, and though it's mild dissonance, it's still dissonance, and there will be a chord or a line of counterpoint in the music that will clash directly with the note being sung. And a lot of people have trouble hearing the note they're supposed to sing when the chord that's being played or the contrapuntal line that's being played clashes. There's never any problem with a trained singer, but with untrained singers, that often happens. On the other hand, once they get used to it and see the reason I've chosen those notes, which often has to do with inflection and sometimes with harmonic resolution, the difficulties usually melt away. The people who have difficulty even after when they're in rehearsal usually have difficulty with lyrics, particularly with some of the faster lyrics I write and some of the patter lyrics. And I will, if I see that the singer is in difficulty, sometimes it's my fault, and I will take a word out or change a phrase to make it easier on the teeth and the tongue or the lungs.
Well, a good example of that patter song is Not Getting Married, which is maybe one of the wordiest songs ever written. It's amazing somebody could do
it. It's wordy, but it's not hard to sing. And mm-hmm. What's hard is the melody, because the melody is comprised mainly of half steps. And unless the voice and the ear are good, the singer gets into a kind of Sprechstimme, a kind of semi-talking. But the patter itself is written pretty carefully, though the last section, I think, there are some breathing problems, and it's a lyric I should improve. But most of it sings very well, and what most singers don't understand is that the faster you sing it, the easier it is.
Why is that?
Well, because less breath is required. And when people sing it slower, they tend to punch certain of the heavy consonants like P's and B's and expend breath that should be better preserved for finishing the phrase in one breath. If you listen to V.N. Cox singing Getting Married Today on the recording of the show that was done by the Roundabout Theater in New York, you'll hear absolutely split-second timing, and she sings it faster than I guess anybody else has ever sung it, and you get every word, and she has no trouble at all.
Why don't we hear it? Here it is.
Listen, everybody, look, I don't know what you're waiting for. A wedding, what's a wedding? It's a prehistoric ritual where everybody promises fidelity forever, which is maybe the most horrifying word I ever heard, and which is followed by a honeymoon where suddenly you'll realize he's saddled with a net and want to kill me, which he should. So listen, thanks a bunch, but I'm not getting married. Go have lunch, because I'm not getting married. You've been grand, but I'm not getting married. Don't just stand there, I'm not getting married. And don't tell Paul, but I'm not getting married today. Go, can't you go? Why is nobody listening? Goodbye, go and cry at another person's wake. If you're quick for a kick, you could pick up a christening, but please, on my knees, there's a human life at stake. Listen, everybody, I'm afraid you didn't hear. Do you want to see a crazy lady fall apart in front of you? It isn't only Paul who may be ruining his life. You know, we'll both of us be losing our identities. I telephoned my analyst about it, and he said to see you Monday, but by Monday I'll be floating in the Hudson with the other garbage. I'm not well, so I'm not getting married. You've been swell, but I'm not getting married. Clear the hall, because I'm not getting married. Thank you all, but I'm not getting married. And don't tell Paul, but I'm not getting married today.
We'll hear more from Stephen Sondheim after a break. This is Fresh Air. My guest is Stephen Sondheim. There's a new cast recording of his first musical, Saturday Night. It was written in the mid-50s, but wasn't staged until 1997. Your mentor was Oscar Hammerstein, and I've read several young composers quoted as saying that you were their mentor. I'm not sure whether that meant, on a more conceptual level, that your records mentored them or whether you personally mentored them. But what's some of the advice you've most often given to young composers?
Oh, I don't give advice. I talk about the specifics at hand. I rarely deal in generalizations. I have sort of three principles of writing, which are all classical principles that have been applied to art throughout many, well, some of them have only been articulated in the 20th century, but less is more, and content dictates form. And those are two principles. And the third one, I guess, would be God is in the details. And I think if you, in terms of lyric writing, I know that clarity is the most important principle. Clarity of thought, clarity of words, clarity for the singer, clarity of intention. But I think that those three principles will serve any art form, and particularly songwriting.
Well, let's talk a little bit about content dictates form. I know you really like to look closely at the book of a play and sometimes even take lines from it and use that in a song. Talk a little bit more about how content suggests what the lyric and what the music should be like.
Well, I mean, it's obvious if you take, let's say, the content of, the content of Company. It dictates the style and the form of the songs. The content is about urban living and about what used to be called relationships. And there's a kind of nervous energy in the script. It's impossible to talk about these things without referring to the script. Mm-hmm. I mean, because it's the librettos that give rise to all these principles. What the characters are, what the style what the author's style is. The style of Sweeney Todd is obviously quite different than the style of Company, and therefore the content, in other words, what it's about, one is about revenge, the other is about, as I say, relationships, dictates kind of the semi-operatic or operetta forms that are used in Sweeney Todd as opposed to the absolute musical comedy forms that are used in Company. It's what arises from the content of the libretto and then the specifics of the situation and the song that dictate form. And style, too.
How about a song like What More Do I Need, which is a song from Saturday Night?
Oh, What More Do I Need was, first of all, it was added after Lemma died.
Oh, okay, right.
You know, it's that's and also, but there again, all right, sure. Saturday Night is a standard 50s musical comedy. With it's lighthearted and light in it. The content is that of a musical comedy. What it's about, namely, you know, about the market and about a fellow whose values are wrong, et cetera, is much less important than the general style of the libretto. The libretto is wisecracks, swift character drawing. It was kind of standard light playwriting, what they used to call light comedies, of the 30s, 40s, and into the 50s before the 60s revolution in playwriting. And so the music, I hope, the songs mirror that, imitate it. They're 32-bar songs. They're standard form, is the way the play is a standard form.
Well, why don't we hear What More Do I Need? I think this has a really great lyric and a really catchy melody. This is from the new cast recording of Saturday Night.
Once I hated this city, now it can't get me down. Slushy, humid, and gritty, what a pretty town. What thought I could be duller, more depressing, less gay. Now my favorite color is gray. A wall of rain as it turns to sleet, the lack of sun on a one-way street. I love the grime all the time, and what more do I need? My window pane has a lovely view, an inch of sky and a fly or two. Why, I can see half a tree, and what more do I need?
The dust is thick and it's calling. It simply can't be excused. In winter, even the falling snow looks used.
My window pane may not give much light, but I see you, so the view is bright. If I can love you, I'll pay the dirt no heed. With your love, what more do I need?
Someone shout for quiet.
That's a song from the new cast recording of Stephen Sondheim's musical Saturday Night. The musical theater is becoming more and more devoted to repertory, and several of your shows have had, I'm glad to say, new productions. What do you think of that trend? I mean, it's been great for your shows because it's enabled us to go see them again or see them for the first time if we miss them the first time around. And it's, I think, been particularly good because some musicals like Merrily We Roll Along, which didn't stay on Broadway for long, the new productions have been a great opportunity to actually see it. But you know, in the larger scheme of things, what do you think of the emphasis now on revivals?
Oh, it's deplorable because young writers aren't getting a chance to get their work heard, at least on Broadway. But that's been going on for years. It isn't just the revivals. Producers are, because musicals are so expensive, are very unwilling to take chances on unknown writers unless the project that they're writing for is a pre-sold project, meaning a hit movie
like The Lion King or something.
Yeah, exactly. Or The Full Monty that's coming along, which is a writer new to Broadway. And I doubt if he had written a show that nobody had ever heard, the title of which nobody had ever heard of, that he would have gotten a chance. Producers just are unwilling. I can understand why, because musicals are so expensive to put on. But it's terrible because the only way you learn to write is by writing a show or writing songs and having the show put on and then writing another one and putting it on and writing another one and putting it on. That's the only way you learn. And you learn, you get better through experience, not through theory. And even the writers who manage to get a show on don't get another show on for years afterwards. And so they improve themselves very slowly. And if they get a chance at all, that's what's terrible about it.
Stephen Sondheim, I want to thank you so much for talking with us.
Okay.
And I wish you good luck with your musical Wise Guys when it opens in a few months.
Thank you, Terry.
The new recording of Stephen Sondheim's first musical, Saturday Night, features the cast of the New York production, which opened last January. I'm Terry Gross, and this is Fresh Air.